الله الرحمن الرحيم. تداش شارف إلى الشيخ عارف بالله رومي وقت تبرد دورا شيخ ورا ورجم هذا مولانا شاه حكيم محمد أختر رحمة الله تعالى عليه. یہ آہِ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں مدینہ کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں. اللہم صلی اللہ سیدنا محمد و صحبی سیدنا محمد و صحبی. یہ آہِ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں یہ آہِ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں یہ آہِ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں جسے آپ کا با خبر دیکھتے ہیں جسے آپ کا بابا خبر دیکھتے ہیں اسے غیر سے بے خبر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شاموں سحر دیکھتے ہیں غلامی سے تیری غلاموں کا رتبہ غلامی سے تیری صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم غلامی سے تیری غلاموں کا رتبہ ملائک کس بھی فوق کر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں یہ آہِ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں تجلی جو ہے سبز گنبد پہ ہر دم تجلی جو ہے سبز گنبد پہ ہر دم اسے رشک شمس و قمر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں یہ آہِ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کا جغرافیہ دیکھ کر ہم مدینے کا جغرافیہ دیکھ کر ہم عجب حال قلب و جگر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں یہ آہِ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں تصور میں آتا ہے جب سبز گنبد تصور میں آتا ہے جب سبز گنبد تو ایمان کو گل تر دیکھتے ہیں بفرت محبت بشوق نظر ہم بفرت محبت بشوق نظر ہم مدینے کے دیوان در دیکھتے ہیں یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں ابو بکر و فاروق عثمان و حیدر ابو بکر و فاروق عثمان و حیدر تصور میں ہم ان کے گھر دیکھتے ہیں تصور میں ہم ان کے گھر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں یہ آہ 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 سحر سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں جو روزے پہ حاضر صلاتی ہوئے ہیں جو روزے پہ حاضر صلاتی ہوئے ہیں تو پندار زیرو زبر دیکھتے دیتے ہیں تو پندار زیرو زبر دیکھتے ہیں جو جالی پہ قلے علا کہہ رہا ہے جو جالی پہ قلے علا کہہ رہے ہیں اے اختر انہیں چشم تر دیکھتے ہیں اے اختر انہیں چشم تر دیکھتے ہیں جسے آپ کا با خبر دیکھتے ہیں اسے غیر سر سر سے بے خبر دیکھتے ہیں یہ آہ سحر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں مدینے کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم الحمد للہ وکفا وسلام علی عبادی الذین صفا اما بعد Friends, we'll try to briefly do a literal translation of these ash'ar. Allah has said that one line of these couplets of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encyclopedias can be written upon it. But if only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open it up a little bit on my heart, we'll just try and do a literal translation to the best. Where can we understand what is the depths of the meanings of these things, the love that these people had. And on the eve of Hajj tomorrow, inshallah, all the Hajis will be going to Mina. Bhaiya Jasab chose these ashar in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How the Hajjaj must be now at all the places in that shock, and tomorrow going to Mina, and then they're going to Arafat, and then to Muzdalifah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Hajj of each and every one maqbool and mabroor, and let the Hajj be incident free, let it go free flowing, inshallah. And Allah accept whoever has gone and whoever hasn't been. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them again and again. The title of this poem is Ya Ahe Sahar Ka Asar Dekhte Hain, that we see the effects of the dua, the longing that we've been making in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, That, oh Allah, when can it be that we also will be in Medina Sharif? As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that the moment the month of Ramadan ended, now the heart went out towards Hijaz Sharif. Kisnaye ke tere dar pe tere aashiqon ka hujum hoga, ijazat ho to main bhi unme shamil ho jao. That, oh Allah, now we know that people will be coming in throngs, in droves, in huge, huge numbers, they will be coming to your threshold. Allah, make it be that we also be amongst them. Nevertheless, this longing of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ, that those who have iman, the believers, they are the ones who are immersed in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ, in every, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything for them, everything for them, everything for them. So یہ آہِ سہر کا اثر دیکھتے ہیں کہ مدینہ کے شام و سحر دیکھتے ہیں. We had this longing, we had this desire in our heart. We're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, when can we also go to Madina Sharif? We can also go to Baytullah Sharif. We can also go there. Then Madina ke sham wa sahar dekhte. Now Allah, you brought us here. We are seeing, and even you are not there, it is in the thoughts all the time. We're seeing the morning, we're seeing the evening, we're seeing the atmosphere. Thinking of the people who are now at the Rozai Park, Da Park, now the people who are in Riyadul Jannah, now the people who are going here, now the people who are going to Baqi al-Marqad, they're making salam, they're visiting the graves of the Sahaba, all the people, we're seeing all this, as if we are there. If we are there, Alhamdulillah, the fruit of our dua and the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're not there, then this is here in the mind all the time, out of the love, out of that yearning that it is in the mind all the time. جسے آپ کا باخبر دیکھتے ہیں اسے غیر سے بے خبر دیکھتے ہیں. Now Allah, we see that all those people who are immersed in your love, that you are the object of their life, you are their focus, and that you mean everything to them. Then we see that everything else means nothing to them. What is the price of the dollar, whether the petrol is going to be going up, whether they're going to be charging on e-tolls or whatever the case may be, things like this don't bother them. They are just only immersed in your love. So whoever we see, they are just the distractions of this world, the temptations of this world, that doesn't affect them in the least. They are only worried about you. So those that we see that are concerned about you, those who have made akhirah their focus, those who have made qabr their focus, those who have made the day of qiyamah their object, those who have made your God their object, and we see the object, and we see the object, and we see that all other temptations, it doesn't bother them in the least. Like our Hazrat Wala always tells us, it mustn't be that we go to Makkah Sharif, we go to Medina Sharif, we may be there bodily, physically, but then we are on the phones, we're checking what are the, keeping contact at home and checking what is on the news and what is the sports results, etc., and the business and the price of the of commodities, etc. It mustn't be that we be there bodily, but mentally we are not there, spiritually we are not there. So those who are immersed in your love of Allah, you see that all the temptations of the dunya, all other distractions means nothing to them. غلامی سے تیری غلامی غلاموں کا رتبہ ملائک سے بھی فوق تر دیکھتے ہیں. او نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, we see that those who have come into your servitude, those who have followed your path, that we see them, that their status is now far higher than even the ملائکہ. One time, Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala passed, and he asked, is this Abu Dharr? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in astonishment, oh Jibreel, you from the heaven, Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, my sahabi, ordinary person, Medina Sharif, how do you know? He said that Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala is more famous, more known to the dwellers, to the inhabitants of the heaven, than is known amongst the people of Medina Sharif. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked why. He said, because of his humility and because he reads Surah Al-Ikhlas in abundance. So he came to the servitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the condition of the people before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And now even the malaika know them. Even the malaika are taking the name, and they are saying that they are more known in the heavens than what they are known on the earth. So whoever came into the servitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Even today, whoever will follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another very beautiful poem of our Dada Shaykh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fill his qabr wa nur, giving the highest stage in Jannah, that Naqsh-e Qadam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kehe, Jannat ke raaste, Allah jalla jalaluhu se milate, Sunnat ke raaste. That in the footsteps of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, person will see the result that you have come out in Jannah. اینڈ دین آلسو اللہ سے ملاتے سنت کے راستے سے, سنت آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, ہی از وے آف لائف, دیٹ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ہمسیلف سے دیٹ فار یو ان دا وے آف لائف آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم از دا موسٹ بیوٹیفل وے, دا موسٹ بیوٹیفل پیٹرن ٹو فالو فار دوز ہو ہیو میڈ اللہ دیئر آبجیکٹ, فار دوز ہو ہیو میڈ آخرت دیئر آبجیکٹ, اینڈ فار دوز ہو ریمبر اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ابنڈنٹلی. سو غلامی سے تیری غلاموں کا رتبہ ملائک سے بھی فوق تر دیکھتے ہیں. That whoever came into your servitude, whoever followed your path, we see that now their stages are far higher and far more superior than even the angels. Tajalli jo hai sabz gumbat pe har dam, usse rashke shamso kamar dekhte hain. That the effulgence, the noor, the light that emanates from the green dome, from the Rose Park of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Medina Sharif, then what is the sun? What is the moon? It is absolutely nothing. The green dome of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the resting place of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, becomes the envy of even the stars, the sun, the moon, the stars. What is the sun? What is the moon? What is the stars? We have this part of our iman that where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting, the hand that is touching the kafan mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, higher in status, higher in rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa taala than even the arsh and the kursi of Allah subhanahu wa taala. So the noor and the effulgence that is coming from the green dome of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the resting place, from Medina Sharif, that is the envy of even the stars, the sun, the moon. Medina ka jughrafia dekh kar hum ajab hal qalb qalb aur jigar dekhte hain. That when you see the geography of Medina Sharif, one side is Rose Park, then you got Riyazul Jannah, then you got Baqiya Barkat, then you got all the other historical places, which unfortunately we don't get to see today. But if a person in that love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where was the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, where's the house of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, where was this, where was that? When we see the geography of Medina Sharif and we try to understand, then we find a different condition that comes upon the heart. What overtakes the heart, we cannot understand. We just become overwhelmed that what must have been that era. Tasawwur mein aata hai jab sabz gumbad hai, jab sabz gumbad hai, jab sabz gumbad, to iman ko garam tar dekhte hai. That when we just think of Medina Sharif, when we just think of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we just think of that environment, when we just think of it, atmosphere, and especially now, when we just think of what must be going on there, how it must be, what the environment must be, what the atmosphere must be, then it just brings a warmth into the heart. It just increases the iman. The iman, you feel a strength coming into the iman. It brings you closer towards Allah subhanahu wa taala. And this is after how many centuries Sayyidina Rasulullah has left this dunya, his temporary abode, but just thinking of the atmosphere, thinking of the place, thinking of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thinking of the Sahaba, what warmth it brings into the iman. Muhabbat nazar hum Medina ke diwar aur dar dekhte hain. That out of love and out of yearning and out of the zeal and this interest and this crying, we actually, as if we are seeing the walls, we are seeing the alleys, we are seeing the buildings, we are seeing the environment of Medina Sharif. Abu Bakr, Farooq, Uthman, Haydar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum wa an kulli sahabati ajma'in. Tasawwur mein hum unke ghar dekhte hain. Now, when we thinking of Medina Sharif, then we thinking of the houses and the abodes of the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. That what was the environment, what was the time then, how it must have been when Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhum read out the adhan, how it must have been at the time of the Battle of Badr, how it must have been on all the different occasions, how it must have been at the time of the Salah, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the environment must have been, when we just think of these things, so tasawwur mein unke ghar dekhte, the love, and now he's yearning, and he's thinking of those days, thinking of the houses and the alleys of Medina Sharif. Jo roze pe hazir salati hue hain, to pindar zer o zabar dekhte hain. When it can be whoever, you see people of high position, high pedestal, that they come here, and when they come here, then we see that they are overwhelmed. They are taken over, by a different condition. You cannot say who is the king, who is the ordinary person. They, everybody, in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making salam, sending durood, everybody engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever the position may be in this world, maybe a big businessman, maybe whoever it is, but when he comes there, he is overwhelmed, he is overtaken. Way he had come, now in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that awe, that respect, that natural respect that comes into the heart. جو جالی پہ صلی علی کہہ رہے ہیں اے اختر انہیں چشم تر دیکھتے ہیں whoever is gone there and now they are in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the jali park, at the roza park of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now they are reading durood, and we just see that tears are flowing from the eyes. We don't know what to say. Like in another poem, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi says that Zuban Fasir hai, lughat mein dam nahi akhtar. That, oh Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how are we going to praise you? What praise you? What words are we going to bring on our tongue? There is no power in the tongue, hasn't got the ability. The dictionary is insufficient. There's no words in the vocabulary. How can we praise you? And as Shaykh Sadiq Rahmatullah said, that Ba'adat Khuda Buzur Tuhi Qista Mukhtasar, that O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, is your position. What can we say? And that you are a human being, end of the day, but after Allah, it is your position. So what can we praise you? So we see that the people who are coming there, in what different ways they are praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in what different ways they are reading durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you are overwhelmed, you are overtaken, you don't have the words now you just see the tears that are flowing from the eyes, and the tears that are chashmetar, we see them with wet eyes. They're crying in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sending durood, that we don't have the ability to how to praise Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this love, take us all.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du, faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله المولى العظيم. Just again as a little reminder, these are very great and honorable days and nights which we are passing through. May Allah give us tawfiq to take maximum benefit. And very easy to read the third kalima, to read the fourth kalima. Make sure we make our Isha with Jamaat, our Fajr with Jamaat, and take extra precaution with Takbir-e-Ula in the first saf, how much we will do. And one great thing is to stay away from all sin. Outward sin, which we know is sin also, but those sins which we don't usually recognize as sin, that also we should try and become conscious of it. There is a very good occasion that we become conscious of all those sins. Like for example, a person might think himself to be a good driver, and he may be patting his back that I'm a good driver. But if he just thinks I'm not stopping at every stop street, so then he's not a good driver. And stop means stop. It doesn't mean to slow down. And then to stop behind the white line. Sometimes we go beyond the white line, and still we think we are good drivers, but to stop this side of the white line. And there are many other things also, courtesy on the road, which perhaps we forget, especially when we are in a hurry, etc., then we forget our courtesy also. Manana Dawood Siddharth brought out a very good point. One time when there was some terrorist activity somewhere, something taking place, and there was this newspaper, what they advertised the newspaper, the headlines, something about the terrorist. So he says a person then, a Muslim person, which you could recognize as a Muslim, a driver, he stopped on the right side of the robot at the traffic light, and he was going to turn right. But he had to wait for the cars from the opposite side first to pass, and then he should turn. Now, he was very much in a hurry for whatever reason, and he just took his turn to the right, and he just sort of greeted that person and told him something. And this also, many times you might think I'm greeting the person. Like one friend of ours, He went through quite an ordeal. He was locked up, etc. He slowed down at the stop street and he greeted the traffic cop and he showed him his watch. So it can have two meanings. You can mean that I'm in a hurry. Please understand. He could understand something else, that you are being sarcastic, you are being rude to me. But he took it like that, the cop, and he locked him up and he went through quite an ordeal through that. So anyway, this person turned in front of that person coming. So he says, now if that person sees this is a Muslim and he sees the terrorist board here, so he says, this is what the Muslims are all about. So many times we think we are good drivers, our akhlaq is good, etc. But when we really, when it strikes us, then we realize that I'm still very not far from the mark. I'm completely not zero, minus. Okay? So all this, Allah Ta'ala make that we understand this and we correct our lives. So these are very blessed days and Allah Ta'ala make it that we take maximum benefit. So our namaz is also with jamaat, and if we can during these days, what I have much more concentration, then our namazes, five times namazes, perhaps normally we don't make our nafils, we don't make our sunnat ghair muakkada. If we can add that also on, then our nafil namazes, our chash, tishraq, tahajjud, awabin, if we can do that also, and we increase in our other ibadat also, Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity. And these are very, very great days in which Allah Ta'ala loves this ibadat of His, and while we are here in this dunya, we have got this opportunity. The minute our eyes close, one friend or family member who passed away over the weekend was going for Fajr, and he wasn't feeling well and that, so they all were reading for him. Then his two uncles who are doctors came. They said, he has passed away already. There's no life at all. You people are still reading. So we don't know when mort can come to a person. And this is the opportunity to make it for our real life of the akhirah. And in this also, one very great ibadat is to stay away from all sin. That which we understand as sin also, and many other sins, as we gave just few examples, which are in us. But if we can just dig them out, and then try and get rid of them, that is very, very important. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. And if on the 9th, which is a common practice of our elders, which will be Yawmul Khamis, Thursday this year, if we can keep our roza, our elders always made ihtimam, took particular care of keeping this roza, so we should try and keep this roza also. And as many more as that we could, we should try and keep. And our qurbani also, which is very important, every aspect of the qurbani, Allah give us tawfiq. One very great highlight of these days, but perhaps which we are missing out and which throws so much light on our lives, is the khutbah on Arafat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is now normally entitled the farewell sermon. And what advices Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave on that occasion. First of all, Hazrat Maulana Ali Mia Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, writes that we can't imagine the love that the Sahaba had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam announced that I'll be going for Hajj. As soon as that announcement was made, all the moths around the light from everywhere, from all the far parts or in the desert, the villages, where and where, people were all preparing and coming. That was one aspect, that this parwana, these moths of the light, of how in the love of this light of Nabuwat and light of Hidayat, how they thronged around and came with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. About, ulama write different numbers, around about 144,000 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had gathered in Arafat on this occasion, coming from all parts. Maulana Ali Mia Sahab, Jazahumullah Khair, has highlighted one very, very important aspect that it's not known, even in these times, with all this technology, the amount of detail of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was recorded by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and which is on record till today, after more than 1400 years, his whole life, And particularly about the Hajjatul Wada. For example, Maulana Ali Miah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that which Sahaba gave itar to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to use? The close Sahaba who were in khidmat. And what kind of itar they gave? Where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam applied it? In his beard? Did he apply it on his forehead? Where he applied it is all on in detail on record. Everything of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on record. Maulana Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali writes that how the Sahaba had recorded everything of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. For example, ourselves, we ask ourselves that what's your father's name? Inshallah everyone will know. Grandfather's name, almost everyone will know also. Great grandfather, there is doubt in there. And great great grandfather, we won't know also. And we won't know any further detail. Ulama have written, Allah make us maaf, to learn, this is the view of some ulama, to learn the lineage of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is faraz on every Muslim. That is, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father was, who his father was, who his father was, to learn this is faraz, the ulama have written some ulama. And if we ask ourselves who, how far can we go? But even so, today if we ask any person that what did your father like in the morning, first thing when he woke up, what should he have, what should he like? Most probably will say, we don't know, we never thought about it. At last, at night, the last thing, what was it that he used to do? Whenever he used to go on a journey, if he should go on journeys, what, how should he prepare, etc. Many of these things we won't know of our own father. But of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, everything is on record. In full detail, everything is on record. So this is the love the Sahaba had for Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah bless us today when it's just for us to read it up. And then to take out the time to learn it. Today there also we've got a lot of time for other things. One particular thing in our time, unfortunately or fortunately, we have to harp on it all the time, the cell phone. The amount of time that we have got for the cell phone and for the messages that are coming and messages that we have to make. But for our deen, for our to know about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we'll find ourselves very, very weak in that. So all these aspects, they build the iman and the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. How much more we will have of this, then that love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will come, and then perhaps we can get some idea of what the love the Sahaba had for Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We just mentioned that incident again, that one great buzurg was really a pious, genuine, righteous, great buzurg. But it came in his heart and he made this claim, and Allah does not like a claim to be made by a person. He said that, I also love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum loved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That night he saw a dream that a horse and cart is going, and he is sitting in the cart at the back with four other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The horse and cart goes on a decline where there are cobbles, stones, and it's going out of control, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is sitting in front. Then somebody makes an announcement, the cart is in great danger and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life is in danger. So you should stop that cart immediately. So immediately he thought, I must get four stones, big boulders, and put them by the wheels. While I was thinking that, the four Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum put their bodies down there. So immediately they put their bodies down there. Then he said, I realized that I haven't got one iota of the love which the Sahaba had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I haven't got one iota of that love. And any foreign envoy that had come and met with Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, particular thing they noticed, the love the Sahaba, the respect the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this love and adab, respect, took them very, very far. And unfortunately, we perhaps are completely on the opposite side of this. Everything they used to give preference to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So we'll just read a few points of this Hajjatul Wada and what great lessons there are for us. The details, of course, ulama have written in great detail. And this also Allah give us tawfiq to try and refresh it all the time. So, yeah, on the plains of Arafat, which will be this year, Thursday, Yawmul Khamis. And with all the Sahaba gathered, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first thing he said that it looks like we will not meet again after this. On this place here, we will not meet again. So that we can just imagine what it must have, what went through the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum at that time. Also, we might think also that we are quite advanced today, that we have got a mic system, and the voice is relayed so far and so many people, but 144,000, 150,000 people. And just by voice, we find in the later times, the great muhaddithin, they used to give their lessons and 10,000, 20,000, 80,000 people, no mic system. Somebody else will relate that and it would be carried. And with perfection that words will be carried. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's words till today are recorded and Quran Sharif we know. Then we can perhaps even understand what authenticity and what perfection Quran Sharif is preserved. When the hadith was preserved in this way. And all those people, they got the exact words properly. Allahu Akbar. How Allah Ta'ala has preserved our deen for us. If we can make some effort, and mashallah, today there are many of our young ulama in what fields they are making great, great efforts. We all should also make niyat to make our children ulama and make this niyat that let them go in the special causes and learn the details of these things. There's lot to learn about our deen and to make the public aware of these things. And if we will do it, the true deen will inshallah become more and more alive all the time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, O people, I don't think we will meet again in such a gathering. This is our last meeting for together. Yeah, in this world, there with the Sahaba, and he said that doesn't look. And at the same time, this must have put so much of consciousness in them to record everything. This is a farewell message also. And this is going to be the lubab, the sum total of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings of 23 years. Now he's going to give them the final lessons for all this year. Then he tells the Sahaba that your blood, property and honor are forbidden for one another, just as the holy city is sanctified for you on this day of this month. How Makkah Sharif, they had great respect even in the days of Jahiliyyah. And even the people of Jahiliyyah, they had great respect for the Kaaba Sharif, for Makkah Sharif. And so your blood, you cannot take anyone else's blood, anyone else's wealth, anyone else's respect. Just if we can understand today, how don't we take the respect of the wife? What and what don't we tell her? What doesn't she also speak back? Because there isn't this respect and adab that is there. And today our children, back chatting is nothing for them. And it's in many places, the teachers who start get shocked how the children speak back on their faces today. All this because we didn't make them aware. We didn't imbibe the love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and then we didn't teach them the respects which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has taught us. And how children should respect their parents. Parents have to respect the children in that way, not what we call respect, but also don't speak anything like that by which they lose respect in front of you, or how you speak in front of your children, etc. And that you are to appear before Allah, and you will have to account for your deeds. If this reality comes to us, you will have to account for your deeds before Him. When one time Maulana Mufti Azizur Rahman Sahib was the Mufti of Darul Uloom Dioban, and with some of the senior ustads of Dioban, they were performing Taraweeh Namaz. They came right to the end now, and he read this ayat, Yawma Tubla Sarair. the day when the secrets will open up. And he repeated this ayat with so much of feeling. They fell down, they fell unconscious. And he kept on repeating the ayat all the time. What the condition came on them. So when these realities will come on to us, that to stand, we are going to be standing in front of Allah Ta'ala. And this also, after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had made so much effort on the iman of the Sahaba, that if they say that if we had to see Jannat and Jahannam with our eyes, it should not have increased our iman one bit. So much yaqeen and iman they had on the reality and the life of the Akhirat. So, yeah, how Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam had trained them, and now he reminds them of this again. I urge upon you not to go astray after my death, and thereby cut one another's throats again. And just a short while before that 23 years, what was the condition of the Arabs? 23 years is not that long time, but what a transformation. And how Allah's unseen help was with them. Wherever they went, the unseen help of Allah Ta'ala was with them all the time. And they observed the commands of Allah Ta'ala, and they were an embodiment of deen, of Islam, Quran Sharif, embodiment of the teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. O you who believe, keep in mind, I trample upon all the past deeds committed during the pre-Islamic period of Jahiliyyah. Whatever was in the past, it's all now forgotten, it's finished. So much so, it goes on to say that a person who had killed one of the close family members of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and for which at least at the final resort, blood money was now payable. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I make it maaf. Interest, and Hazrat, the uncle of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasallam, who they were doing, before that it was not forbidden. They should lend out money on interest, etc. And the amount that was due to him, Allah reward the ulama, some have worked it out. It worked into trillions of dollars and pounds of our time. And that also at one stroke of a word, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's my maaf. We won't take all that interest. Trillions and trillions of dollars, of pounds, we can't remember the exact figure, but what a huge figure it is. And just on that one day it was made. Who can do this? It's not the work of an ordinary human being. When a person has that iman on Allah, and when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to the Sahaba there, we can imagine what effect it had for the, on them. And then one very important point Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlighted, O you believers, stand in awe of Allah in taking care of your wives, for they were solemnized as your wives in the holy name of Allah. In the name of Allah, your wives became halal for you. Why? Hadrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali should say, we should learn a great lesson. She is uprooted from her roots. Where she grew up with her brothers, sisters, everything. How she, and now she gives herself over to a strange man. Completely strange man, just on the, in the name of Allah. She has become halal for him. So we should make qadr that she has left everything. Today we find people getting married and the bride goes away overseas also. Sometimes nearby, in the same town, nearby towns in the country, but sometimes overseas also. Now she leaves her whole family for your sake. And all this is just in the name of Allah she became halal. So respect the name of Allah. And all three ayats that are commonly read, that are normally read in the nikah khutbah, are all about this taqwa. And about that you have made this wife halal in the name of Allah Ta'ala. So we should take care of them. And at the same time again, now this is also all of these days that we should take this lesson. How are we treating our wives? What is our relationship in the home with the family, etc.? All these things also we should take, we should consider. Then with regard to our servants, we don't need the laws of the country really. If we are those true Muslims, then how we would treat our servants, they would all have been Muslims by now. Like in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those slaves that lived in the home, slaves, but they all accepted Islam. They saw the Islam at close range. They did not have to read about it. They did not have to hear about it. But they saw it practiced. And as far as that is concerned, we with ourselves, we don't live as Muslims. With our family members, we don't live as Muslims. If a wife will say, but my husband, how he lies. Wife or husband will say about the wife, how she lies. And our backbiting, that has got no limit whatsoever. All these things, they are supposed to be very far. So this the khutbah which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had given on this occasion has got great, great lessons for us to learn. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also mentioned about the rights of the husband. The wife must also fulfill the rights of the husband. Where the wives must fulfill, husbands must fulfill the rights of the wife, wives must fulfill the rights of the husband. Yeah, we hear it so much, we say it so much, but we fall prey to it and guilty again, that we won't be asked on the day of Qiyamah whether the wives fulfilled our rights. But yet we go on harping and demanding our rights still all the time. And the wives won't be asked whether the husband fulfilled their rights, but they will be asked whether they fulfilled the husband's rights. But we just keep on talking, hearing, but we still don't change our ways. It's Allah give us tawfiq to try to change our ways, inshallah. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained the importance of the Quran Sharif. And what a kitab, the Quran Sharif itself in many places in the Quran explains what a grand kitab it is. Came from Allah Ta'ala first of all. How great is not that? Brought by the Malaika, the security of the Malaika, and brought by the king of the Malaika, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And the speech of Allah, nobody ever has been able to match it in one simple word also. And then the Quran Sharif that came down on the heart of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how great and honorable. These words are so great and honorable. Whoever believes in the Quran Sharif as required, may Allah give us tawfiq. Allah makes that person also great and honorable. And then a person who practices on the Quran Sharif, Allah makes that person also very great and honorable. So everything associated with the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reminded the ummah on this occasion of Hajjatul Wada, what the great, great message of the Quran Sharif is and the status of the Quran Sharif. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, there will be no Nabi after me and no ummah after you. Listen, you must bow before Allah and pray your 5 times a day, namaz. All the basic essentials of our deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to them. Hajj, etc., zakat, hajj, roza, Ramadan, all that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained. And then you will, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be questioned about me also on the day of Qiyamah. That, tell me, what shall you answer? That whether I delivered the message or not. And we know that Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave any stone unturned. It could be at any time somebody wanted to know about deen, he was present. Not now is my aram time, sleeping time. Not now I'm busy in something else or anything. But for deen, he was present all the time. And mashallah, today also there are ulama like that. May Allah bless us all with that quality. Whenever they are called, they are ready. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, once around about 2-3 o'clock at night, or a bit earlier, a lady came knocking on the door. Her daughter or somebody was going for delivery. So she wanted the taweez to make the delivery easy. And he says, I was in need of a ghusl. So I first took my ghusl, then I wrote the taweez and I gave it. If it was we, what will we? So these people were on call all the time. And that is the qualities that Allah bless us with. We just our little bit comfort. We can't change our times a little bit. Allah give us tawfiq. Maulana Musa Saab, Lorgat, gave a talk now to the students, and a very, very important point he had mentioned, that to sleep after Fajr is very, very unhealthy, undesirable. He said, first of all the barakat is gone. Once you sleep after Fajr, all the barakat is gone. And then you become lazy. And once you have become, and you become stupid, he says. The person who sleeps after Fajr. And unfortunately, this is all our common practice, especially now with summer coming, then we all want to sleep after Fajr. Especially if we have to sleep, try and sleep after Ishraq. Try not to sleep before Ishraq time. If we have to take a little nap, take it after Ishraq. Otherwise, this is a very blessed time, and unfortunately, many of us, we just, this time goes just like that. Then all the Sahaba, they replied in unison. And how, what that must have been? قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةِ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةِ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ. And how these words are just all the time resounding at Rozai Mubarak also. A person who prepares a little, and how happy Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be, that my ummati till today is giving the same evidence that I have conveyed the message, I've done it. And also we should take note that after all the sacrifices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in what ease and comfort Allah has put him now. We usually want ease and comfort now immediately, and we don't worry of the later times. But a person who is wise will look at the comfort of later, which is eternal and which is so much more superior. May Allah tabaraka ta'ala also put that. But we just want now. I'm feeling hungry now. I must get to eat, whatever it is. People around me are hungry. I'm not worried about them. But I must get my food. I won't share also with them. Whereas they were such that they always worried of the other people. They could stay hungry. We can't even imagine it. They stayed hungry and fed the other people. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of all this, after they gave evidence, then he said, convey the message unto those who are not present here. فَلْيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدْ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبِ. Those who are not present, convey the message to them. According to some people, it is said that the Sahaba from there, a great number went out from Arafat there, and they went and gave the message after completing the Hajj, etc. They went in the four corners of the world. Consequently, we see, which is a hard fact, that in Jannatul Baqi, some thousands of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are buried. And of the other Sahaba, which numbered more than 144,000, these were the numbers which ulama gave, which came for Hajjatul Wada. But the others who didn't, where are they all buried? And today you travel almost any part of the world, especially the Middle East, how far, far. And Allah reward those ulama who have drawn those maps, and they shown the routes they had taken. We can't believe it, on camel back, and how they traveled in those days. On foot they traveled to learn one hadith. On camel back they went till as far as China to go and give the message of Islam. Right up to Istanbul, all these places, Persia, Roman Empire, everywhere they went, right up to Egypt and all the north of Africa. All these places, how they reached, only Allah Ta'ala knows. And if you try and work out the figures, and that how many Sahaba on one journey, and then arrangement for five times namaz, arrangement for eating, arrangement for sleeping, and they are traveling all the time. Your mind doesn't work how they had achieved all this. And all this comes when a person strives in that way, Allah Ta'ala opens on a person. And till today, there are those ulama who, mashallah, work so much. We to read one kitab, it takes us perhaps a month or more even to read, whereas they finish it in one night, and still they are normal, and they still carrying on with all their duties and everything. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to move in this direction and to prepare, inshallah. We'll just a few points we'll mention about the adab, etiquettes of slaughtering. We did mention them again, and mashallah they are ready yet, and Maulana Musa will be given out, whoever would like. But let us also just not take it like that. If we are going to hoping to practice, read it, etc., then take, don't just take it and we don't even know where we put it. That it's lying somewhere. No, but if we make it a point that we take it and we read it and we try and practice upon it. There are quite a few points that the animal should be looked after properly, properly before, if we're having the animal, the feeding it, etc., water. The knife must be very, very sharp, and it mustn't be sharpened in the presence of the animal. And don't slaughter an animal in the presence of another animal. That is also the other animal. What is going? They also understand. It isn't that they don't know. They also have got understanding. And it's, Islam is taught that everything must be done with kindness and in a proper way. The previous animal, the animal to be slaughtered should not see the blood of the previously slaughtered animal. It should be washed away. An animal that is taken for slaughtering should not be laid past animals which are being skinned. It's seeing that this animal is being skinned, this is going to happen to me also, that also should not be. The animal should be caught and brought only when the slaughterer is ready for slaughtering. Usually the workers grab hold of the animal well in advance. And it isn't some game with the animals. And the children are also enjoying it, how the animal is being drawn, etc., pulling it by one leg, etc. Now in a nice way we should bring the animal. And then when we have got the animal down, read our duas, but not long, long duas, and the poor animal, it knows that it's going to be slaughtered and we are busy with our long duas. It should be slaughtered properly and almost immediately. Read our duas and slaughter. And it should not be treated cruelly in any way. It should be facing Qibla, and the person slaughtering must also face Qibla, and then Bismillah, Allahu Akbar should be read. That should be read verbally, and otherwise in our heart we make niyat for whom it is, etc. The neck of the animal should not be sawn like we are sawing a piece of wood or slicing a bread. Clean cuts should be effected. Animals should not be skinned while there is any sign of visible life in them. So all these points are very, very important, and one of our friends has donated for all this. May Allah accept it from him also. On one occasion, one person went to Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahab of Mia's farm, Rahmatullah Ali. He gave him Kitab Hizbul Azam. As he was giving it, he asked, will you be reading it? If you will read it, I'm giving you. If you're not going to be reading it, then I'm not giving it to you. So this also, and by Firoz Mem and our Hazrat's main, one of his main Khalifas, he should give out Hazrat's kitabs after every majlis, free of charge. And then he should say the kitab is being given out free of charge, but it's not printed free of charge. It costs money to print the kitab, but it's been given out free of charge. But don't let it be Mali Muf Dile Be Raham. That what we get free, we don't have any qadr for it. We don't worry about it. Make qadr of it, appreciate it. So this will be given out. And Allah Ta'ala make our qurbani for all of us, for the whole ummah. In Mina, everywhere in the whole world, Allah make it very easy without any mishaps. Some countries, some laws they have, and they harass the Muslims. Allah save us from all that. And we also should not take undue advantage, and we should not try and be bold, etc. Do our work what we have to do properly and within the law. There are ways that we can do it, and observe the rights of the animals, and it will be seen how many cases there were like this. One good friend of ours who was running a butchery, I think now his son is running it, but the inspectors right from days of before, he should call many other butchers to come and see this butchery. Above the government standard also. What their requirements are of cleanliness, etc. In everything, Muslim things are like that. That everything is above standard. When we started building here the Darul Uloom, the building inspector came one, two times and he says, your fulfillment of the requirements is above our requirements. And then he stopped coming also. They were quite satisfied. So like that, everything, if we do it properly, then that is how Muslims should love. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.